Leaders are all around us at all times and in every area of our lives. They motivate. They risk the first step. But what motivates a leader? Today on the Central Texas Leadership Series, Carrie Keel, Executive Director of the Animal Birth Control Clinic in Waco. Amy Davis conducts the interview. This conversation was recorded January 5th, 2021 in the KWBU studio.
Well, hello, Carrie. Welcome to the Central Texas Leadership Series.
I am so happy to be here.
I think it's wonderful. Well, listen, you are the executive director of the Animal Birth Control Clinic, or ABC Clinic for short. Tell me, what is the Animal Birth Control Clinic?
Well, we provide basic preventive veterinary care for cats and dogs for Waco and McClellan County.
All right. We'll get more into detail about that in a minute, but I want to find out. Well, first tell me, how long have you been the executive director there?
About 14 years.
Wow, that's phenomenal. And a lot has gone on in that time. What brought you to the Animal Birth Control Clinic? Like, where did you begin? And did you have people along the way that sort of guided you there or just kind of opened a window for you and you went, oh, I think I can do this?
So many people gave me a chance.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Oh, yeah. I'm a hometown Waco girl. Grew up in Robinson. I was a band kid. Went to MCC, started on an accounting degree, and then switched over to Baylor with a sociology degree. At that time, I was working for a groomer shop, Penelope's, with Penny Gifford, and fell in love with animals even more, you know, from just a personal family level, and learned more about what the community needed at that time and started spending more time helping the clinic as a volunteer. And when I graduated, spent some more time in the financial industry, and then switched over. Eventually, the ABC board, we needed to grow, and ended up needing an executive director to be there on a daily basis. And they took a big chance on me, and we have grown together. I will say that.
It really has come a long way. It really has. And under your leadership, too, I want to say that it did begin, am I right, sometime in the 80s, just kind of struggling along to try to help the animals?
It did. About 88, the clinic was started with a group of volunteers, one day of surgeries per week, about 15 surgeries a day. At that time, you know, things were pretty bad with stray animals and the need in the community and at the shelter. And we needed to grow beyond that. We just continued to grow. We had some good board members and volunteers, donors who really, truly would help make sure that the basics of the clinic were paid for on a weekly, sometimes basis.
It was in pretty rough shape.
Yeah.
Well, I feel that you even took a chance to go into something that was still, you know, trying to grow. But look how far it's come. Well, let's talk more about like your day-to-day life as an executive director there at the clinic. What are you doing? But what is the clinic doing too every day for people who might not know? You know, when you look at a day or a week at the ABC Clinic?
Oh, an example of that was yesterday. We had over 100 voicemails come in and over 250 incoming phone calls come in. So there's an example of our volume.
And is that of people that are needing vaccinations or surgeries?
Both vaccinations and surgeries for cats and dogs. The volume is just something that we continue to respond to and try to anticipate for. So a lot of my work is to see how we can best do that most efficiently with the donor dollars that we have and with the most compassion. Really make sure that we meet people where they are and help them and their animals just the best the way that we can in the moment.
Yeah. You have, how big is the staff? That's what I was going to say. I was going to say, how many do you have on staff? How many do you have?
So we've got almost 40 right now and continuing to grow. As a building with capacity, we have enough capacity to continue to grow within the walls that we have. And the outreach van, the transportation van really helps our community a lot too.
Well, and that is something that is relatively new now with the ABC Clinic. How long have you had this outreach van, and what are you doing with it?
2 years. And that van goes every day out and about.
I have seen it out in the community, and I always look, there it goes.
I know. When I'm out and about and I see it, I'm like, there it goes. Yeah, I get it.
It's kind of like the Wienermobile.
Yes.
But tell me what they do, because I think that is part of your growth and something that has happened under your leadership, this new outreach program that goes beyond your walls.
Yeah, it really has been a joy to add new programs that are needed in the community. The outreach van does a couple of different things. It does do transportation for people who don't have transportation for whatever reason. They just can't get their animal to us when they need to get it to us. And so we'll go and fetch it and bring it in and then take it back home. After the services are provided, the other thing that we do is we go door to door in neighborhoods that need our animal help the most. Mm-hmm. And where there's really no other great way to reach those animals and those families than to just go door to door. And our van is so cute, and it's our staff members are so personable. And they go out in a team of two and, just knock on doors and say, hey, notice you've got a cat bowl here or a dog in the backyard. I hear, do you need anything? And they keep stuff with them in the van that they might be able to provide right on the spot. Or if they need medical services, they'll go ahead and just transfer them on the spot as well.
That's wonderful. What about the trap, neuter, release? I've been hearing about that for a long time in Waco, but it seemed just small little groups, but I think y'all have really expanded on that. Is this part of the van outreach program?
Yes, it is. It's a big part of it. So there are some people who don't have the capacity or physical ability to trap the cats and actually get them to the clinic for their trap, neuter, return services, the spay and the neuter, rabies vaccination, and the little ear tip that shows that they've been fixed. That really improves community issues, neighborhood issues, where maybe cats breed pretty fast. So things can get out of hand in a big hurry, and feeders can really get overwhelmed. So it's a very satisfying program to see, you know, neighbors that may not have been so happy with cat behaviors and caretakers that really were desperate to help their cats. To see the resolution for those issues is satisfying.
I had heard a statistic, and you can tell me if it's correct, that a female cat, it can be pregnant almost all year round. Like as soon as she has her litter, she can be pregnant again, and it just continues. And of course, that's, you feed one cat, and before you know it, you have six. And I know what you mean by it getting out of control. Yeah. So I'm glad you're there to help those people. So that's probably part of the calls that you get, or people saying, you know, I've got like 25 cats all of a sudden. I don't know what to do.
Well, we get called. There were two of those yesterday that I helped with, actually. It wasn't 25 cats yet on either one of those. They were calling a little earlier, and we were grateful for that. But, yeah, just jump into the neighborhood and start to help. Yep, it's a big program. It's pretty common for us to see between 6 and 12 outdoor trapped cats come in per day.
What would you say the difference is between the animal birth control clinic and a veterinarian office here in town?
Well, one, that we're nonprofit, and anything that comes in goes right back out into services. So there's not this model focused on profits for ownership. The other way is that we provide just preventive care at this time. You know, in the future, I would love to provide some other things, but at this point, we are focused just on preventive care. So, you know, if someone brings in a dog that is ill, we make sure that it gets to a full service veterinary clinic where they have the diagnostics, the staff, the medications to treat that animal and get it well. if they come in and we were to stop what we were doing to treat that animal, our volume for preventive care is such that we would put off other animals for preventive care for what might have brought that animal in the first place. Mm-hmm. And we would get behind and others would hurt or suffer, even die. So we want to make sure that we are focused on preventive care first.
What do you define as preventive care?
So spays, neuters, vaccinations, heartworm testing, intestinal worm testing and treatment, flea and ticks, that's a big deal. And heartworm treatment, yeah.
That definitely is a big deal in the South. So
So
when you do have an animal come in and you're like, this is a little more than we're going to be able to do, mm-hmm. you just, you know, try to help them along the way, guide them mm-hmm. to the next step?
We do. We want to make sure that they are, if it's something that's terribly urgent, we get them to one of the closest ones to the clinic mm-hmm. Make a call ahead if needed as well. Occasionally we get someone that comes in that they need a little financial help just to get an exam done. And we may reach out to one of our partners or a special donor or something to make sure that they get the help that they need to.
About 10 years ago, you moved from the clinic that was located on Wooded Acres to a new building on Clay Avenue. Tell me more about that.
Yeah, we needed more space. It needed to be laid out better. But more than that, we really needed to be in an area of Waco that was better accessible for the families that needed us most. And so it was a real commitment to just move into an area that that people could reach us easier.
Could get to easier, find you easier.
Yeah. We also have made the commitment to having one staff member every day at least who can speak Spanish. Our staff also looks more and more like our community really is. Mm-hmm. Which also helps us in connecting with the pet owners that need our help the most. It's when we are inside of the clinic and then also in neighborhoods knocking on doors. We want to make sure that we have their trust, mm-hmm. and sometimes that makes a real big difference.
I know it's been hard for everyone in this pandemic. What have been some of the issues that you had to tackle right away?
We have, our clinic does weekly testing for our staff because they are so close together. We all wear masks all day long, and we still had some cases of COVID within the clinic. So that's been difficult, both personally and professionally, to see with our staff members. But we are very committed to keeping the rest of the group safe. And we've lost our lobby full of animals and pet owners, and that has been heartbreaking. It is such a fun thing to experience, to be in there and wait for your animal to get its services. It's just a lot of fun. It's like an indoor dog park, and we've been without it for far too many months. We're really ready for the vaccines to take hold and in our community, our general population. So
everybody to come back in.
Yeah.
So you have close the clinic to the pet owners. They just wait, you come and get them, bring them in, do their thing, and take them back out. So has that worked okay? Have your clients been okay with that?
Most of them, yeah. It does take a little bit longer logistically. Mm-hmm. So unfortunately, the wait's been a little longer. We don't do appointments for the wellness visits. So you just come on a day that's convenient for you to come and wait. And hopefully the weather is great and you can wait outside comfortably in your car or in our green space outside. So generally, it's like in going to a dog park or having your cat hang out with you in your car, which some cats won't enjoy, but we try to make it as swift and easy as possible.
Well, as we're listening to this, I'm thinking, all of this costs a lot of money, you would think. You know, all the vaccinations, surgeries, paying the employees. So I think a lot of people don't realize that Animal Birth Control Clinic is a nonprofit. So tell me, where does this money come from, Carrie?
A number of different places. We do get some municipal funds from the city of Waco. The leaders with the city council and the city of Waco staff understand the key role that the clinic services play in making our community safer and reducing the numbers of animals at the shelter, coming into the shelter. So they help with spay, neuter, microchip and things financially. So that's very helpful. That is just a little portion of the cost that it does take to run the clinic and provide those services at an affordable price. Mm-hmm. So we do rely a good bit on grants for special programs from especially local foundations. They've been stellar with their strategy and vision and generosity. We also rely heavily on individual donors as well. Yeah, it makes a big, big difference. The last thing we want to do is to, you know, not be able to provide services for someone who needs mm-hmm. help with their animal right then. And that really makes it happen that we can say, yes, of course, we can help you.
Yes, yes. And it is low cost, as you said. This mm-hmm. is, you know, this is not full price, you know, that you're charging for this. And if correct me if I'm wrong, even like the like flea and tick medication, you sell that at cost. It's not, you're not making a profit off of that.
Right. The surgery costs a whole lot more to provide than what we charge the community. That's mm-hmm. at the core of what we provide, the spays and neuters. And vaccines, we do that maybe right at cost with mm-hmm. the labor that goes involved, that's involved in all of that too. The flea and tick meds with heartworm prevention, there is a tiny bit of margin in that helps a little bit. Mm-hmm. So we try to run that whole service business model as efficiently as we can, but we know that we are and have been at a real sweet spot on those prices for the people who can't afford to pay something.
Yes.
Some people just can't pay anything, and we want to make sure that we're there for them too. So we've got essentially two different kinds of models that we can respond to the community with. And just rely on those donations to make up that difference.
That's really wonderful that you're able to provide this kind of stuff to our community. Let me say you're listening to Central Texas Leadership Series if you're just joining us. And our guest is Carrie Kill. She's the executive director of the Animal Birth Control Clinic. Carrie, what are some of the misconceptions you think that people have about the ABC Clinic?
That maybe we don't provide the quality or that we cut corners. I think that would be the main thing that, mm-hmm. you know, if they haven't been in, if they haven't had their pet seen by us, they may just not understand that we do have a commitment from the donors to make sure that we can provide it with quality and that we do have the internal commitment to make sure that it's done with quality as well. And a smile. People love our staff members. They are just so friendly too, but it's because they really do love and I think understand the impact of their day-to-day hands-on work.
Well, yeah, I've been in there, and you're right about your staff. They're all friendly. They all seem to love what they're doing and do love their animals. Would you say that Waco is a animal-friendly community? I'm sure we have room to grow in all areas, but what do you think about in that area?
I think that we still have a lot of work to do in particular areas of need within our community, both mm-hmm. inside of Waco in areas and also outside of Waco, but within McLennan County. Mm-hmm. I think we've got some work to do there, and that drives me forward. I think that Waco has become way more animal friendly. You know, I mean, mm-hmm. if you're just out and about pre-pandemic and seeing people walk their dogs and bring them to patios with restaurants, I think that the movement is there just as it is across Texas and the United States. So it's a lovely thing to see.
It is. It is to see the growth of it. Where would you like to see the clinic grow, like in areas? I know, you know, like you said, the van is only 2 years old, and in that 2 years, you know, you have made a huge impact. But I know that you're always looking to the future. Mm-hmm. What do you see?
Well, one of our first things for the new year is to work on getting a new van. We have just about worn that sucker out. And so we'll be working on that because the van, it really works well. Mm-hmm. You know, short trips within McLennan County, it doesn't take that long to get to and from, but we've got to be able to do that. The biggest need that we see where there aren't resources is more rural areas of McLennan County. You know, some of our smaller towns around here need a whole lot more help, and they just don't have the municipal reserves to help in the way that the McLennan County or the city of Waco does. Mm-hmm. So that's going to be where our main focus is.
It's just to keep reaching, reaching out, and letting people be aware that you're here. Sometimes that's, you know, hard enough as it is just to say, hey, no, we are here. We can help you. Thinking about your job and the people that you've seen come through, what would you think during this COVID time your leadership has helped? Like, you know, you had to just jump in the deep end and make decisions really quick here during this past year. You know, what have you learned through your time there or through somebody that, you know, gave you some good advice?
You know, the clinic has a culture of change already because we do need to be very efficient in the care that we provide. The staff typically comes up with ways to make their job easier, and it's my job to help make sure that they have the resources and the tools to make that happen. And, you know, our only role is to make sure that they can still be friendly and caring and the quality doesn't change. And so I think moving forward, that culture of change really helped us pivot more easily when we needed to become curbside only and also keep people safe, keep ourselves safe. So that helped.
That's really good that you had a staff that was willing to bend with you. Mm-hmm. There's something, and I think you and I had talked about this once before. I'd like you to address it, though. I know there's a lot of people that they don't have pets. It's not something that they're interested in. And so what would you say to them? Why is animal safety and getting animals fixed and the trap, you know, neuter release, why is that important for the community at a whole and not just, you know, somebody with some cats or I'm going to get my dog, you know, neutered today? It really does affect the whole community. But tell us, how is that?
You know, there's so many different ways that we see that those impacts are seen. It's anything from, you know, it affects the way that our city and our county looks to people who are visiting mm-hmm. and considering moving here and investing here. So I liken it to, you know, a building with a bunch of broken windows in an area that, you know, makes it look kind of sad. Mm-hmm. We see a lot of cats that they don't look well or cared for, or we see some dogs that are stray. It tugs at our heartstrings. It makes us wonder about the area. But on the flip side, if you see a bunch of people walking their dogs and cats sitting in their laps and mm-hmm. they look well cared for, their coats are shiny, they're healthy, I think that it really makes a difference on the surface that way for people who just see a little glimpse. I think for people who are first-time pet owners and they don't know yet really what to do, we want to be there for them to help walk them through it step by step on their first-time pet.
Their first time, yes.
Yeah. health and safety issues for our general community. You know, I want any kid that wants to ride his bike down the street to not be afraid that, you know, stray dogs are going to cause him an issue on his bike or worry his parents. If somebody wants to walk along in their neighborhood every single day, mm-hmm. I want it to be safe for them, too. Having animals that are socialized and healthy and they're not wanting to roam and stray to find a mate, all of those things make it healthier for people who don't even have a pet.
Speaking of people who have a pet, have you found that during COVID people have relied on their pets more? I know that this the ABC Clinic is not the Humane Society. I think sometimes that gets confused, but I know that you work with them. Have they seen more adoptions? Are people pulling in and wanting their pets and clinging to them more?
Yes. You know, during the pandemic, people have spent more time at home for, you know, compassionate, you know, safety reasons, or because they are out of a job or at home for school. And our pets have gotten us through this really hard time, you know.
Yes, so, indeed.
especially for those who, you know, don't have a full family in their home. You know, they've been a real lifesaver in a lot of situations. And for people who haven't had a pet before, they've gone and gotten one. They've gotten a companion. I think that the animals have certainly benefited in this horrible time so much.
Yes, I think it's been a two-way street there where they have helped and some of them have gotten out of the shelters, which is great. And then that, you know, it is almost like it is a collaboration, because someone who has lost their job but they still want a companion, so they go adopt, mm-hmm. say at the shelter. But you know, it's still expensive to make sure you have flea and tick and heartworm medicine and the spay and neuter. And this is where ABC comes in. Do you do any work? How much work do you do with the Humane Society?
They refer a large number of adopters to the clinic. We get referrals from other pet owners and a number of different partnerships throughout the city. And, you know, that makes our job a lot easier. It also saves on funds if we don't mm-hmm. have to constantly, you know, buy a billboard. And so, yeah, that really helps to make sure that they've got a safety net. You know, I mean, we've all had times where we've kind of struggled financially. Mm-hmm. And the animals don't need to suffer in those situations. So we want to be there at whatever point someone needs us in their life for their pet. Especially during a pandemic when financial times can get really hard.
When it really is getting tight.
So our demand has really increased.
Yeah. Well, that's a wonderful asset to have in this community, because you don't want to give up your pet just because you can't afford the medications or maybe a little bit of food here and there. So it has come a long way. This is probably a terrible question to ask you. Have you had a favorite pet in your life? I know it's like asking, what's your favorite child? I don't know. I don't know if I could even answer that question, but I don't know. There could have been a pet and it inspired you.
Oh, boy. You know, I'm not sure about inspiring, but I had a scruffy mutt called Murphy, and he was pretty awesome. Yeah.
You had a good connection with him. I can tell by your smile.
Awesome.
He was your pal. Well, I know I've had so many pets, but it would be hard to narrow it down like that. Carrie, I want to thank you so much for what you do in this community, and I hope that people could hear in your voice the passion that you have for these animals, and not just for the animals, for the community and the people who own them and love them, and you want to help and turn their life around.
Yep, that's exactly right. Well, thank you for having me. It's my pleasure.
Well, thank you for coming in, and continue to keep doing the great work at the Animal Birth Control Clinic. Carrie, thank you.
This conversation was recorded January 5th, 2021, in the KWBU studio.